Pakman Show at davidpakman.com.
Are you interested in connecting with the international community in the Pioneer Valley? Then volunteer to help your immigrant neighbors improve their English and integrate better into their surroundings. Become a volunteer tutor. Take a free 15-hour training taught by the International Language Institute in downtown Northampton. For more details and an application, go to ili.edu or contact Amy at ili.edu. Students come from Africa, Asia, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East. So volunteer to tutor and expand your world.
Hi, this is Josh.
And Kat.
And we're from Fred Bradley.
And you're listening to Valley Free Radio on 103.3 FM WXOJ LP. Try to understand.
This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And I was just trying to play a PSA, but unsuccessfully. So today, the subject is leaves, falling leaves, leaf blowing, leaf raking. And have some guests in the studio with me. Claire Ardito from Petal People, and Dennis and Kaylin, who are neighbors. And Dennis does some leaf blowing. So I also had a song that I wanted to play, too. This is Rebsi Fairholm.
Turning gold. The man next door goes out to blow some leaves. Leaf blower. Early in the autumn when the leaves begin to fall. Leaf blower. My neighbor gets his blower out and drives me up the wall. And a whining as the leaves fly through the air. Spoiling my recording, still I'm going bloody spare. Can't use a rake like everybody else. Pointless power tools, give him his kicks. Likes to piss the neighbours off by making loads of noise, wasting electricity to get his fix. Blowing to the left-hand side and blowing to the right. Blowing back the other way to shove them out of sight. Blowing up the garden path and blowing down the street. Leaves are splattered on my car and get stuck on my feet. First day of autumn when the trees are turning gold. Visions fly like leaves in front of me. Autumn days when the grass is chilled and the neighbors hung from the chestnut tree. Privet hedge and over flower bed. I want to grab a garden spade and whack him round the head. Blowing on the patio and blowing on the grass. I'd like to take that blower thing and shove it up.
So that's Rebsy Fairholm. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And so for a little background on trees and leaves, I talked to Molly Hale. And here's a little clip from an interview with her.
Molly Hale. Molly, could you just introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. I'm a biologist. I got a degree in master's degree in wildlife biology. And I work as a consultant doing land conservation related things, and I teach natural history up at Greenfield Community College. But I'm really a naturalist who loves being out in the woods and out in nature as much as possible. And I know about a broad array of different things, a little bit about lots of things.
Well, I wanted to tap your knowledge about trees a little bit. Could you just tell us about like what leaves mean for a tree and something about that life cycle?
Sure. Well, you've probably heard of photosynthesis, which is how a tree and all kinds of green plants makes energy, makes carbohydrates, sugars, out of sunlight and water. And so that's what leaves do. They have that green pigment in them, which is chlorophyll, mm-hmm. that does photosynthesis and creates sugars that nourish the tree.
Mm-hmm. Just sunlight and water, like, do they use some of that dirt or minerals
Few little minerals here and there, but those are more like we need vitamins and minerals in our diet, but it's not the primary thing that mm-hmm. we eat, which is mostly carbohydrates mm-hmm. and fats and mm-hmm. Things like that. But,
So they make the leaves, and the leaves are photosynthesizing, and then in the fall...
Right. Well, in the fall, around here in the north... trees drop their leaves because it's not so much freezing, which would be the problem, but it's desiccating or drying out, which is the problem. The air in the winter, as you know, is very dry. And so unless leaves have a waxy coating on them to keep the moisture in, like laurel, rhododendron, certain evergreens that have needles, they have a waxy coating on the leaves so they don't dry up as much in the winter. So they can keep green needles through the winter without drying up, without losing too much water. Mm-hmm. But the deciduous trees, the ones that drop all their leaves at once, those don't have those coatings, so they have to drop their leaves.
Mm-hmm. And so in nature, the tree, it'll drop its leaves in the fall, and then what happens to those leaves?
Well, the leaves drop to the ground, and there's a whole ecosystem on the ground of little tiny everything from bacteria up to, little protozoa and little tiny insects and spiders and slugs and all kinds of things that make a whole little ecosystem down there that break down the leaves and return the nutrients to the soil. So those nutrients ultimately can feed back into the tree. That is, we're talking about the minerals and the vitamins and things like that. Not so much the carbon, because that comes out of the atmosphere, the CO2 from the sky.
Uh-huh. So if the leaves are removed from below a tree year after year, how does the tree make up for that loss?
It probably gradually would just, it wouldn't grow as fast. It would probably not be as healthy. It would be more susceptible to getting sick. Plus the roots would be more exposed and susceptible to being, worn down or abraded or something like that.
So in a urban or suburban environment like Northampton, where you can't really have a lawn and a tree with leaves underneath it because they'll kill
right.
the grass. So do you notice in Northampton trees suffering maybe because of having the leaves taken away from them?
That I don't know. I mean, I'm not an arborist, so I don't know specifically about urban trees. But I did participate in the tree survey a few weeks ago that Lily Lombard organized, and it was really interesting to notice that a lot of the trees that our team surveyed were really not that healthy. At first glance, they didn't look bad, but when you really stopped to look at them, they had either a lot of the leaves were the crown was dying, or there were cracks or infections on the bark, or the bark had been scraped away, or the roots were exposed and worn away. There were all kinds of problems. So they're not as healthy as they look. Probably not as healthy. They have to be a pretty resilient tree to grow in an urban landscape.
So that was Molly Hale talking about trees in Northampton. But anyway, so we human beings in cities and towns, we remove the leaves so we can have lawns. Don't get me started about lawns as status symbols. That'll be a whole other show. But anyway, I wanted to welcome Dennis here in the studio and his daughter, Kaylin. Thanks. Thank you all so much for making time to come in. You too, Claire. So Dennis, in your landscaping experience, what are some of the different ways that you've dealt with leaves?
Well, I've used leaf blowers, vacuum type leaf blowers that sucks up the leaves, raking, lawnmowers, many different things.
Typically part of a landscaping crew or
landscaping crew. Sometimes I've done it for myself, but not too often.
Uh-huh. Have you used the gas powered backpack leaf blowers?
I've used the handheld. The gas back, those are heavy. Those are very heavy, very loud. Vibration is unbelievable.
Yeah, I was just reading recently about even though the user can wear good ear protection, the vibrations coming through your spinal cord and through your bones can do incredible hearing damage.
It could if you don't protect yourself with the proper gear.
Is there any way to protect yourself from that sort of vibration? I wonder.
I've never experienced anything.
When you've worked with crews, what kind of protection do people typically wear?
Eye goggles, gloves, the headphones from the sound.
Uh-huh. The people wear headphones with radios?
Either radio. Some folks do, because it's could be a long day, depending.
Do you remember when you first used a leaf blower, and if you got any sort of training or how you were set out or put out to do that?
Well, the crew I was on threw the blower at me and said, go ahead, figure it out. Uh-huh. You got to pull a cord to start it. It has an on off switch. Like I said, they're typically heavy. My first time using one was actually in Florida. I was doing ground maintenance on a cemetery in Titusville, Florida.
For to blow leaves or
just to clean the whole grounds, just make sure it's all presentable for folks who come to see, their loved ones, grave sites and stuff like that.
Have you ever used electric blowers?
I have not. I have seen them, but I've never used one. They are a lot more quieter, not as heavy. Me personally, unless you have a really small yard, I think you would really need a very long extension cord.
Or I guess they have batteries, like lithium battery powered ones now.
Yeah, now they do. Yeah.
So how many hours a day would you want to run a leaf blower? How many hours a day would you feel like is sustainable on your body?
After a few hours, you definitely need to switch up and give your back a rest. They do come with comfortable straps, but still, it's just the weight alone can, you have to take it off, stretch. I've ran them 8-12 hours before.
How does it feel when you go to bed that night?
I go to sleep.
You just beat.
Yeah, shower in bed.
I know, the noise from leaf blowers really. On a real visceral level, annoys a lot of people. Does it annoy you when you're not using one, but say in your neighborhood, if someone else, another crew is using one or people are using one outside your window, does that noise bother you?
It depends. In the summertime, definitely, you can hear them. Summer vacation, sometimes you have crews going through where I live and they'll be there as early as 7-8 in the morning. Some folks like to sleep in.
Yeah. For some people work night shift.
And some people, yeah. So it could be annoying to some.
Yeah. Do you, when you're on a landscaping crew, are there some people that rake certain areas, or what role does the rake have?
Oh, the role, the rakes is always used. Also, yeah. you can a leaf blower only do so much.
Yeah.
You still have to rake and be able to pick the leaves up and put them in bags and or wheelbarrows, wherever, you know, what the crew has. But me personally, I find, yes, the leaf blower is a lot faster.
Uh-huh.
But the rake, it gives it up the natural,
yeah,
the natural touch up.
Did you, when you were younger, like, did you ever have like a fall job, like odd jobs raking leaves?
Not odd jobs. Actually, my first job was working for this place called Shelman Falls Greenhouses. They used to do Bill Cosby's lawn. So my first summer job was on his property up in Shelman Falls.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Claire? What's your experience of leaf collection?
Well, I do leaf raking and hauling with pedal people. And we only use hand power tools. So mostly it's the like two main tools that I use with leaves is a rake and a tarp. And definitely raking has an effect on the body when you are doing it for like extended hours. I feel it in the arms and shoulders a lot.
Mm-hmm. How many hours a day do you think you could do it?
The longest straight that I've done it by myself, I think, has been like 3 hours. I think I could do it longer,
yeah.
But it was like pretty exhausting, just like, because there's only really like one direction in which your arms move. There's not too much diversity, so it's just like the mm-hmm. same muscles again and again. Mm-hmm. But it's also pretty fun and satisfying to like have a huge amount of leaves and then totally transform it by the time you're done, like mm. with your job.
So with pedal people, if you don't have a truck, what do you do with the leaves?
Well, there's basically two options. One is if there's a place at the person's house to dispose them, which is what I prefer, is you like pile it onto the tarp and then drag it and dump it in the woods or whatever, or it behind their shed, like wherever they want it. And the other option is to load it onto the pedal people trailer and bring it to either Cotton Tree or Valley Recycling, where they have like a big, huge compost pile, basically. And that's a little trickier because leaves like don't really weigh that much, but they take a lot of space, so it's hard to get like all the leaves that you're dealing with.
Do customers ever want you to like build a composter on site, or what kind of options are there for keeping the leaves on site?
We have had people in the past want to build a compost pile. It's usually for like their like household food compost, but we've done a couple of jobs doing that, and or just putting it in the woods just where there's already a bunch of leaves. And I'm sure some customers want them, like some people store all their leaves in like a big pile and have that compost naturally and then use it directly on their garden bed. And we actually have a couple of larger garden/farms that we deliver leaves to if they're close by, just so that they can use it to like mulch and put their beds to bed over the winter.
Would it be helpful to have other drop-off points around town, like people who might want leaves?
Yeah, anywhere. I mean, the goal would be to travel the least distance, so like as many drop-off points as possible would be ideal to be able to like, because like the longer it takes us to move, the more it costs for the customer. So if it was like across the street or down just a couple blocks away, that would be like preferable for everyone. Less work for us and less money for them.
Yeah, I'm really curious from both of your all's experience, like how it compares economically for the customer. Like how much does the landscaping company that comes in with heavy equipment or gas-powered equipment, how much do they typically charge to do the job? How much does like a pedal person rake combo charge? And then how much do each of you all get paid? Maybe Claire, could you say something about that?
Yeah, well, Pedal People charges for all yard care related work $24 an hour, and of that I think I get 19 and change, or 18, around 19 something. So that's, yeah, $24 an hour. And I would assume for a similar sized yard, raking would take longer, but so I don't know if it would even out.
Yeah, I mean, typically, obviously, it depends on the size of the yard. In companies, they vary. Like you said, they need their gas paid for, their time, their employees. Pay can range anywhere between, for employees, anywhere from 8 to 12 bucks an hour, depending on what they're getting for the job. I've never really been that nosy to ask whoever I was working for what they get per yard. Mm-hmm. I just know what I would get paid for. And you'll get more jobs with the machinery because you get more done quicker as opposed to using a rake all day long. I couldn't really answer what people usually get because, again, it depends. I mean, you could have a house with a decent-sized yard, and then there's places like Meadowbrook and cemeteries, or, you know, it really varies.
Do you know if either of you know if there's a minimum, like what's Pedal People's minimum for to come out just to rake any size, even a small place?
I think at least this is for mowing, and I think it also applies for raking, is that like our minimum would be $24. And if it takes less than an hour, it's the same. And if it takes more than an hour, it's by the hour. So like if it's a really small raking job that would take less than an hour, it would still be 24.
Yeah. Any idea, Dennis, what it costs a trucking company, a trucking crew, a landscape crew just to show up?
Some people do free estimates. And then there's people out there who charge for their estimates and their time. It varies with different companies.
Yeah.
Me personally, if I had my own company and I worked for myself, I wouldn't charge to go look at a yard. For one, chances are you won't get hired from the job because nobody wants to pay for you to come out and look at the yard and then go back and pay you to do the cleanup.
But if you know you're doing the job, it's just a small job that's only going to take you 20 minutes. You know what the minimum?
I'm pretty sure people are reasonable. Anywhere like 15 bucks an hour, or, you know, depending on the yard. Some people get charged by the yard, some people charge by the hour. Again, you know, manual labor, definitely, you know, 24 bucks an hour is not bad at all.
Yeah.
You know, because like she said, you're constantly moving the same muscles over and over, and you have to switch arms. So, yeah, you can feel it, you know. Yeah.
What about some of the overhead costs? Like, Claire, what's your overhead?
Well, the thing with Pedal People Yard Care is that there are, since Pedal People already exists, even though the yard care section is new-ish, is that, like, we have most of the things that we need. Like, the trailers already exist, and we have access to them, and the tools also. But when I, like, bring things to a job, it's pretty low, because it's mostly just a rake and a tarp, and then, I mean, the trailer is like a expensive item, but...
But probably sometimes you don't even need a trailer, you just drop the rake and the tarp on your bike and go.
Yeah, and so that could be like 20 bucks, and that's a reusable thing that you can use for like a million jobs.
What about, Dennis, to get the equipment ready to go for a leaf blowing kind of cleanup job?
Again, it usually depends on if it's a big yard or not, but typically you need, you know, leaf bags, blowers, rakes. Are you asking?
Like, I'm just trying to think about, like, the different costs, like, what the money that the customer pays you is going towards. Like, is it going to the person doing the work? Is it going towards, like, the leaf blower, gas, fuel, protection? I'm not sure what all the costs are involved.
Yeah, I mean, the money definitely goes in different parts of, you know, again, you have to pay for gas. There's an oil gas mix, employees, insurance, equipment. That's if it needs new belts or new something, goes spark plug, you know, those cost money. Insurance, you know, you have to pay out insurance sometimes for your employees. So typically the money does spread apart, so that's why people use the machinery so they can get more jobs, so they can make a living to pay and build from the bottom up.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to really add up. The cleric can make like $19 an hour, and the machine crews would make, you know, like $10-$12 an hour. Mm-hmm. And they have so many more jobs. And I know when I've tried to talk to some people on the machine crews, they felt a lot of stress to get the next job, especially like trying to work around the weather. And mm-hmm. it's just like, sorry, I can't talk. I got to get this job. So we got 10 different places to go to today. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm just kind of wondering, like, it just sort of seems like this cycle almost, where you have to have all these jobs to make this money to pay for your equipment and to, you know, pay for your crew or whatever. And it just seems like this should be a way to like sort of slow down that rush a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, depending on who you work for, can get carried away and have too many appointments in one day. Mm-hmm. It's good to spread it out, you know, but with Claire getting 20 bucks an hour, 24.
Yeah, something like that.
That's because she's doing it manually again. You know, that's a lot harder work, and it's going to take a lot longer. You know, I understand where you're coming from with the difference of, you know, crew members get lower pay as opposed to. But again, she's, you know, she probably could get done maybe typically in a day, what, 3-4 jobs before nightfall.
Yeah,
depending on the yards and stuff. Yeah. You know,
is the customer paying more? That's a big question, I guess. Yeah. For me, I don't know.
I think one other thing is that since at Pedal people were worker owners, like, I get a lot of the profit from the job, and with a bigger company, like, the employees get the flat rate, and no matter how much money is made that day net for the company, like, if you work really fast and like cram in a bunch of jobs and like in 1 8-hour day, you still get paid $12 an hour when like the company as a whole is getting more money because more leaves were blown. Mm-hmm. And that is less of a thing because like no matter what, how much money is made for Pedal people that day, I get like 75% of those profits.
So you've worked, Claire, you've worked for a landscaping crew before as well, right?
Yeah, I briefly did.
How was that?
It was all right. I felt like I was making like around like $9.50 an hour, and I only did it in like the summer, so I didn't have a lot of experience with leaf blowing. It was mostly like, I did use a leaf blower because we would like mulch a bed and then make a mess in the driveway mm-hmm. and have to like pretty it up before like the customer mm-hmm. got home.
Mm-hmm. Or when you're mowing lawn, sometimes you have to clean up the sidewalks and the driveways. Yep.
Which that's one thing about a leaf blower is that it can get like dirt out of gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like something that you can't really do with a rake.
Right.
It's like one thing that or it does really well. Yeah.
One broom, yep.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share some information that I found about leaf blowers and leaf blower noise. I was doing some research online. And leaf blowers have been banned in a bunch of places in different ways. Like, I think in Cambridge, gas-powered leaf blowers are banned at certain seasons. In California, there's a lot of towns where they're either banned altogether or gas-powered ones are banned, or there's a bunch of variations that the bans take. I talked with Bill Dwight earlier in the week to see if there was any, you know, Northampton-related, any potential ordinances or anything that people have ever brought up or about that. He said there's been some noise-related ordinances, but I have a clip from him that I might try and play later if I can get that lined up. But in terms of the noise, the U.S. EPA says noise degrades quality of life by impairing communication and social interaction and reducing accuracy of work, especially complex tasks, and creating stressful levels of frustration and aggravation that last even when the noise has ceased. And a quote I particularly liked is by Kenneth Mao that he wrote in a newsletter, the Right to Quiet newsletter in 1997. He says, when harsh noise hits, Instead of reaching out to greet the world with open ears, we shrink back into shells, or try to. In truth, the ears can't shut, nor like the eyes turn away. Noise controls space like an occupying army, travels through walls, enters homes, molests bodies, violates privacy, stops thought, and batters each of us into isolation. That's the end of the quote. The noise causes loss of community as both a sign and a cause of aggression and violence. And there's, I found a bunch of research from like the World Health Organization and other doctors and organizations that attribute excess noise to a lot of problems. Here's some things they talk about. Alice Souter, a nationally recognized noise consultant, was quoted in the spring 1993 Issues in Science and Technology. She says, even moderate noise levels can increase anxiety, decrease the incidence of helping behavior, and increase the risk of hostile behavior in experimental subjects. And there's other studies that, you know, say that it can impair children's hearing, health, learning, and behavior. And the US EPA reports that learning difficulties, particularly with language development and reading ability, are byproducts of noisy home or school environments. Here's another study. Another American study showed that people living on noisy main roads had far fewer friends than those in quiet suburbs, and that people living near airports were 8 times more likely to suffer mental problems. Several industrial studies indicate that noise can heighten social conflicts both at work and at home. And then the loud noise in particular can be painful for people with partial hearing loss or other kinds of like hearing related illnesses. What I was reading talked quite a bit about isolation, about how noise disrupts social interaction and can be dangerous by masking warning noises. And according to the US EPA, again, people who live in noisy places tend to adopt a lifestyle devoid of communication and social interaction. For millions of Americans residing in noisy urban areas, the use of outdoor areas for relaxed conversation is virtually impossible. Anyway, so it goes on about a lot of the difficulties that loud noises can cause, whether it's like leaf blowers or loud trucks, Jake brakes, motorcycles, you know, plenty of noises. Another problem is the entrained dust, which is the particles that are blown up from the ground when there's high velocity winds or it's coming out of the leaf blowers. A lot of like molds and pollens, dried pet feces, a lot of that gets churned up, contributing into asthma and things like that. Also, if a lot of the lawns that get leaf blown may also have gotten pesticides and herbicides sprayed on them, so then blowing that up can be dangerous as well. Then, of course, there's engine emissions and things like that. And then there's the health effects on the operators. So those are some things. It's almost time for Name That Sound. Actually, it is time for Name That Sound. If you just tuned in, you're listening to WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM. This is Valley Free Radio. You're listening to Out There, and I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring.
I was playing that video game Forest Brigade, and it was pretty cool. I was running down this like digital path, and I met this digital frog, and he was all like, and then I went playing in this virtual stream where this water, it looked almost real. It was this whole electronic forest world. So what did you do?
Well, my parents took me to the forest, the real forest, where I was running down this, well, it was an actual path. Then I saw this real-life frog. It was all like, ribbit. And I saw an owl, too. Then I played in this amazing stream with water around my ankles. Like wet water. Then me and my sister and my parents sat around a campfire and told cool stories all night long.
Oh, that's pretty cool, too.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, Claire, I want to ask you, are you ever raking a really big yard and think, if I just had a leaf blower, I'd be done with this?
I haven't ever thought that, but... well, I mean, I want it to take as long as it has to take for me to also get a full day of work. Mm-hmm. So if I had a leaf blower, then I guess I'd be like making less money because it would go too fast.
How about a lot of people now, I think, are mowing their lawns with like mulcher mowers. Dennis, do you have experience with that?
I've never used one of those, but I've seen people ride over the leaves to break it down and... You know, because so they'll use it just for the top, for what they have, makes it look nice for them. Or me personally, I'd rather get rid of them because sometimes the dead leaves can ruin your lawn, depending.
Yeah, I read that the mulcher mowers can cut down the leaf volume to 1/10 and like cut the leaves to like dime size pieces or smaller, so they're just settling amongst the grass, and then that's one way to keep it on the ground to nourish the soil for the following year. But that sounds better than removing the leaves, but at the same time, it's still a dependence on a piece of gas-powered equipment. So I'm trying to think of the best ways to like meet people's desires around leaf raking that or leaf removal that are the simplest. Do you have any... I guess we talked about this a little bit. Do you have anything more to add about that, Claire?
Well, I guess it's better than, like, just removing it, the nutrients entirely, but I feel like they could maybe go to better use being put on a garden instead of just... I guess it depends on how much lawn you have. But if you have, like, some yard and then also a garden... Sounds more exciting to put the leaves onto your garden than just make the grass. But I also don't really care about grass that much.
Okay, well, I was looking for the name that sounds, but I did find Ruthie's Rant. My housemate Alex suggested that I do a little section of out there, a little segment called Ruthie's Rant. So I have a rant today. This should last about 2 minutes, I think. So I was working downtown this morning, emptying downtown trash barrels on my bike with the bike trailer. And as I was putting in a new bag in a barrel with my bike and trailer stopped by the curb, I struck up a conversation with a couple of construction workers. One guy, he nodded at my bike and he said, "Hey, why don't you put a motor on that thing?" I said, "I do every time I sit on the seat. Plus," I said, "I'm lower maintenance, I think." Anyway, then I continued about my business of emptying trash. And then I was emptying a barrel in front of Pulaski Park, in front of the bus stop. And a teenage girl waiting for the bus came up to me, curious, and she said, "Shouldn't you be using a truck? Because in Springfield, they use trucks to collect trash." Now, at this moment in Pulaski Park, there were no fewer than 4 gas-powered leaf blowers and 1 riding mower making so much chaos and noise, the girl and I were practically yelling at each other just to hear. "No," I said, "I shouldn't use a truck because the bike works just fine. And I don't want to make the neighborhood sound and smell like that," I yelled, half at her and half at the blowers. "Oh, I guess you got a point," she said. "So what is it with engines and motors? Why does our culture worship them? Can't people see they're making us and our bodies impotent and separating us from the natural world that we were meant to be a part of?" Thank you for listening to Ruthie's Rant. We have some PSAs. Can you read your face? Oh, yeah, that one.
This Friday, October 13th, I mean 31st, Halloween, there's the Rag Shag Parade, and it starts at Trinity Row Park on the corner of Main and South Street at 6 p.m., marching to the Florence Civic Center, Civic and Business Center. Kids get goodie bags. At 5:30, there's a costume judging contest. And it's rain or shine, 90 Park Street, Florence, Mass. Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Let's see. There's also, wanted to make an announcement of a talk by Andrea James, Executive Director of Families for Justice as Healing. This is on Monday, November 3rd at 6:30 p.m. in the UMass Campus Center. It's sponsored by Stefik. Her talk will be Real Women, Real Voices, the Movement of Formerly Incarcerated Women to End Mass Incarceration. And now, I think we have a song by the Flowbots.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. Look at me, look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked-y. I can show you how to do-si-do, I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, but I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in the cherry stem, I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took, I can do anything that I want. Cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome, no metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me, just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store, I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine, 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics, I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers, me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system, I can do anything with no resistance. Cause I can lead a nation with a microphone, with a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission, I have it all under my command. Because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust. With no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
I think I'm going to have to play another song while I untangle my headphones from the office swivel chair here. actually... I got guests in the studio. Kaylin, why don't you say something? Have you raked leaves? No? So, in your apartment complex, what happens to all the leaves there? Are you feeling shy? That's okay. How about you, Dennis? So, where'd all the leaves go in your apartment complex?
In the back of a big old dump truck. Where they take it from where I live, I have no idea. But they throw it in the back of a dump truck and haul it away. Sometimes they're in leaf bags. Sometimes they're in the, you know, it depends on what department of the complex that they're at. I've seen them go in wood choppers. I mean, to break it down more so they can fit, because it's a pretty big complex where I live. So I mean, they have to, space can fill up pretty fast. So they break it down and throw it in the back of the truck, and they put a tarp over the leaves so that way nothing flies out of the truck when they're leaving.
Actually, that reminded me of one other thing. I left something out in Ruthie's rant. The other thing that was on my mind was about how, like, when we use motors to replace things that could be done with human power, how it excludes people, how it excludes, like, children, it excludes them from being able to help out. Like, a few examples that come to mind would be where the human-powered option is safer and more accessible to young people would be, like, kids can bike or walk, but they can't drive, or kids can safely rake, but they can't operate a leaf blower, or they can use a two-person saw for cutting firewood, which is what we do at my house, but they couldn't use a chainsaw, or they could use a scythe or a real mower, but not a gas-powered mower or string trimmer. So I guess I just wanted to mention some, like, the way that, like, for me, being able to use the human-powered option, like, contributes to a democratic control of resources, you could say. And, like, our, like, independence and freedom, because you can do things for yourself. You don't need much, just a little tool, and you're not dependent on these systems way, way, way beyond your control, the manufacturing, the tools, and the fuel, and repairs, and on and on. Well, I had another article that Molly Hale gave me, which I thought was pretty cool. Instead of talking about, like, electric or gas-powered machines and things versus human-powered things, she was talking about, or she gave me this article about acoustic rakes. You know, like, you have acoustic guitars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which led me to thinking about, like, the enjoyable sounds of like, the scythe moving or the saw or the rake. What are some of the sounds, Claire, that you think about when you're raking or that you hear?
Well, kind of just leaves in general. Like, if you're making a big pile. I was raking some leaves with some little kids earlier in the week, and we made a big pile, and it was all shushing against each other, and then the sound of, like, a little kid who's the same height as a pile of leaves running through it with, like, giddy laughter. That was a good sound. And the sound of dragging the tarp. Like, I was dragging it on the yard, and then once it gets onto the driveway, then it's like this other sound that makes me worried about ripping a hole in the tarp, and then back on the grass, and I'm not worried about it anymore. Those are good sounds.
Squirrels running through the leaves, or
the nuts cats. Falling on the leaves.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have found my sound for Name That Sound, I believe. And so this sound, it comes from along the bike path. Sound quality is not the best. If you know what this sound is, or if you even want to take a guess at what this sound is, you can call into the studio at 585-1033, and someone here other than me will answer the phone. So let's see how this sound comes out.
Oh.
It's the ringing sound in the background that I'm talking about. I'll give you a hint, because that was a kind of a weak hint. I mean, a weak sound. It's on the bike path between Meadowbrook and the DPW, sort of. And I hear it on occasion when I'm biking through. Anyway, if you know what that sound is, call in 585-1033. And if you don't know what it is, I think by the end of the show I should tell people. Because the end of the show is coming up pretty soon. I also wanted to give a special thank you to Shana Hiranandani, who encouraged me, who suggested to me doing a radio show about a year ago. This is my second show. Oh, the phone's ringing. Hey, Claire, can you answer that?
Hello?
Hang on. I think you might be live. Hello?
I think you hung up on a person.
Oh, sorry. Hope they can call back. I was trying to get them live. I've practiced this before, but I guess I need to practice again. Please call back. I just hold the receiver up to...
You got the speaker. Put the mic near the speaker.
I think that might echo too much. Here, I'm gonna put you live. Hello?
Hi, Rizzy.
It's Mikey. What's that? What do you think it is?
Is that a cement mixer churning?
You win! You're right. It's a cement. Well, it's a something at the cement plant. What'd you say it was?
I think it's a cement mixer, churning. I saw them cleaning them this morning when they were just, spinning around and spraying water everywhere.
Yeah, well, something's the churn, but what makes the ringing bell sound?
I don't know.
Well, you're the first caller and the only caller to get it right. Thanks so much for calling in and for listening. All right, I'm going to have to wrap up a few things for the show. You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio with my guests, Dennis and Kaylin and Claire. Next week, I'm pretty sure the show is going to be about light pollution. Light pollution is the negative side of it, but the positive side of it is the beautiful night sky and the amazing universe and human beings' place in it, and how actions we can take maybe to be able to see the stars again. Following this show at 5 o'clock is Democracy Now. Warm Heart of Africa's on later on this evening, I believe, from 7 to 9. And I think to close this out, anybody else got any announcements they want to make? Anything they want to say? Oh, you know what? I'm going to mention these Ferguson Fridays. Arise has been organizing rallies the last Friday, or not the last, every Friday of October. So there's one more Friday. That's this Friday on Halloween. They've been organizing rallies on the corner of State and Federal in Springfield to stand in solidarity with the victims of police brutality and militarization in Ferguson, as well as the victims of police violence in Springfield and across the country. And feel free to bring any signs or props. Just show up. They're from 3:30 to 4:30 on Friday. And we're going to go out with a little Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. I don't know where this is. I'm still trying to find the right button here. Here we go.
When I close my eyes, I see the way this world shall be when we go walking in it. for a crust of bread. When the last man dies for just words that he said, when there's shelter over the poorest head, we shall be free. When the last thing we notice is the color of skin, and the first thing we look for is the beauty within. When the skies and the oceans are clean again, then we shall be free. We shall be free. We shall be free. Stand straight and walk proud, 'cause we shall be free. Anyone we choose, when this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship from our own kind of pew, then we shall be free. We shall be free. We shall be free. Time, and nobody walks a step behind, when there's only one race, and that's mankind, then we shall be free. We shall be free. We shall be free. Stand straight.
Can't hold me accountable.